This week's Sedra, Parshas Vayishlach. When Yaakov Avinu is getting ready for his confrontation with his brother Esav, getting all the ranks together, so it says the Pasuk, Kaf Gimel, Vayakam Balailahu Vayikach Et Shtei Nashav. So he got up that night, Yaakov, and he took his two wives, Et Shtei Shifrasav, his two handmaids, Vesachadasar Yiladav, and his 11 children, Vayavor Es Mavar Yabok, and they crossed Mavar Yabok. So Rashi here says, and he took his 11 children, Vidina Heichan Haisa. Asked Rashi, but wait a second, where was Dina? Okay, his 11 children, but where was Dina? So he answers, Nasna Bateva. She wasn't around because Yaakov put her in a box, Vinal Bifaneh, and locked it. Why did he do such a thing? Shelo Yitein Ba'Esav Einav, so that Esav shouldn't take a gaze at her. And maybe he didn't want to take her as a wife. V'lachein Lakach Nenash Yaakov Shemana Me'echav. And because he did this quote-unquote terrible thing of hiding Dina from Esav, he was punished. And what happened? And it says, what terrible thing did he do? Shema takzirin alamota, because had he let Esav, his brother, marry Dina, then she, you know, might have brought him back to do tshuva. And because of that, v'nafla b'yad Shechem, as we see later on in the parsha, she was attacked by Shechem. And that was her being attacked by Shechem was a result of Yaakovinu not acting with her in the right way. So first of all, before we get to the main question, there's an interesting little side point is asked. Rashi says, "V'dina heichan aisa." Where was Dina? So the Gra asks, why does the Rashi Dafka, you know, asking where Dina was? Maybe why didn't Rashi ask where was Levi? Where was Reuven? Where was Shimon? Right? It just said he was there with his 11 kids. Okay, he had 12 kids. He had 11 boys and a girl. Okay. So it says, and 11 children, and say boys, 11 children, he went with 11 children. Rashi says, well, where was Dina? Why didn't he say, well, where was Reuven? Where was Shimon? Why Dafka Dina? Why did he know that it was Dina that was missing? So the grass is a very nice word. He says that, how did Rashi know it was Dina? He says, because Chazal tell us that Binyamin was Zochet to have the Beis HaMikdash built in his portion in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because he didn't bow down to Esav, as in this week's Parsha. Why? Because he wasn't alive yet. Okay, so he wasn't around, so therefore he didn't bow down to Esav. And therefore, he had was Zochet to have the Beis HaMikdash built in his Chelek, whereas all the other Shvatim, they bowed down to Esav. Amela says to Gra, it couldn't be that any of these 11 boys were missing over here. Because if they had been missing, then the Beis HaMikdash could have been built in their Chelek. Because that person didn't bow down. So Mashma says, we know that all of the 11 mouse have bowed down, but we know he had 12 kids, so it must have been Dina, who didn't get a chelik. She was a girl, she didn't get a chelik in Eretz Israel. It must have been her that was missing. Okay, anyways, but there's of course a bigger question over here. And that is, what's going on? How could this be, right? Here we have Yaakov being punished, that his daughter was attacked by Shechem. Why? Because he didn't give his daughter to Esav. What father is expected to give his daughter to the Russia Marusha? It's like giving your daughter to the a mass murder or whatever. I mean, maybe she can be makar of it. That's what Rashi says. She's part of the Shema Yachzirin Emetu. She might have Shema, not even for sure. Right? She might have been able to have an Hashpa in Esau. Come on! And that's what Yaakov was really expected to give his daughter over to Esau. Yeah, so Rashi said, because he didn't, he was punished. Very strange. Question number one. Right, question number two is that why Dafka did, then it says because of that, she was punished and she fell into the hands of Shechem. Why Dafka that? And thirdly, more strange, is that we see later on in the Parsha here Rashi's telling us the reason why she was attacked by Shechem is because, Yaakov hit her. But it says later on in the Parsha, not that way. It says, V'teitzei Dina bas Leah, this is when she was attacked, that Leah, the Dina, the daughter of Leah, went out, etc. Rashi here says, why is it Dafka say the daughter of of Leah. She was also the daughter of Yaakov. So Rashi says, El al shem yitziyasa nikris bas Leah. Shafi yitzani saisa. She was a girl that goes out. It wasn't sneer. She went out, just like her mother went out to greet Yaakov. So also her, here Leah, Dina, is a girl that went out. And because she went out onto the streets, so she was punished. So here it's mashma that, you know, she's punished for going out. Whereas Rashi says earlier, we just mentioned, quoted, he said, no, the reason why she was attacked is because Yaakov hit her. He shouldn't have. The question is, what seems a contradiction? So I heard a song of Altic Vort from Rav Yitzhak Barzo, Shlita. And he says the following. He says that Yaakov Avinu, yeah, he says, Kipshuto. Yaakov Avinu should have, as Rashi said, I don't have any fancy footwork in Rashi over here, that he should have given his daughter Dina over to Esav. We said, how could that be? He said, because Dina was not your average girl. Why not? He said, because this Dina was a miracle child. How was she a miracle child? He said, how was she born? Rashi tells us earlier on, says that Leah had given birth to 6 boys. The Bila and Zilpah, the two Shfachas, also had given birth to kids. Each had 2. So Leah had 6 boys. Each of the Shfachas had 2. That's 10. Okay, so there's 2 more Shvatim to go. And they knew this. They knew there's supposed to be 12 Shvatim. And 10 were already born. And then what happens? Leah gets pregnant. Okay? Now, Leah said, uh-oh, if I have a boy over here, right, then, which she did, she was pregnant with a boy, that would make her have 7, and the Shfachas each have 2. That would be 11. There's only one boy left. And even if Rachel gets it, she'll have the last one, the number 12. It's not going to be nice. Why? The Shfachas each have 2 Shvatim, and she only has 1. So Leah felt bad for her sister. And she davened that the child inside of her, which was a boy, shouldn't be a boy, should be a girl. And sure enough, a miracle happened, and the child inside of her, which was a boy, turned into a girl, and that was Dina. It was the unborn. So she shouldn't have a girl. She used to have her, ended up with 6, 2, 2, and 2, and then Rachel also had 2, and that was the 12th tribe. So she shouldn't have less tribes than the others. Okay? So, comes out that what? That this was a miracle child, right? Here, Dina was born miraculously. She was a boy to begin with at inception, and she turned out to be a girl. So therefore what? So he says, had Dina been a regular child, of course you don't give your daughter to Asa, maybe she's going to be Makara. But here, since she was a miracle child, so then he could have given... Yaakov could have given her over to Esav, and have nothing to worry about, because Hashem would protect her. But she's not your average kid. She was a miracle child. And as a result, he can be so and rely on the fact that everything's going to be okay. Nothing bad can happen to her. He's not going to do anything bad to her. She's a miracle child that Hashem is guarding her. Okay? That's what he could have done. We see a similar idea, he says, from the with Shmuel Navi. It says that Shmuel, when he was young, he paskened the shaila in front of his Rebbe, Eli HaKohen, and he was over on being more halacha bifnei rabo, paskening in front of his Rebbe. So Eli wanted to have him killed for that. He punished by death. And then Chana, she said to him, to Eli, Elanar hazeh anit palalti. She says, no, don't do it, because I daven for this boy. So what? So he explains, Rav Barzel, the name of his father, he says that, Eli was worried. He says that he knew that Shmuel came from Korach, right? Remember Korach, he saw the Gedula coming from it, from him was going to come Shmuel. So he knew that Shmuel was a descendant of Korach, and he knew Korach was not so aye, right? And he saw now this young Shmuel kind of following a little bit in Korach's footsteps, paskening instead of in front of his Rebbe, and like Korach, was wanted to put Moshe down. So he was getting a little bit nervous. He goes, uh-oh, I see Shmuel's following in Korach's footsteps over here. So therefore he wanted to have him killed. So what did Chana say? He says, no. He says, Elanar Zeitmal, this boy is a miracle child, right? I was barren. I wasn't supposed to have any kids. But through my tremendous feelings, the Chodesh Baruch Hu did a nace, and I was able to have this boy Shmuel. So therefore, you have nothing to worry about, right? Nothing bad is, can happen to this boy. He's not going to meet Kalkin. He's not going to get bad. Nothing's going to go wrong with him. He's not going to go against you. He's not going to follow in Korah's footsteps. Can't be. He's a miracle child. I daven for this boy. Same idea like we see with Yaakov and Dina. Ah, so what happened? So really, Yaakov could, what happened? He didn't give Dina over. Why not? We don't know. Yaakov, even though Dina was a miracle child, he treated her like any other girl. That was his problem. He treated her like any father would treat any ordinary girl, not, of course, give her over to Esav, which was wrong. She was when she could have been given over because she had a special protection from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As a result, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? He says, wait a minute, Yaakov. I gave you this girl that has a special protection, and therefore you could have given her to Esav, and you treated her like a regular girl. Well, if you're going to treat her with like a regular girl, she's going to be like any other regular girl. Okay, and therefore, he says, she was like any other girl that when she went out in the street, she would have gotten attacked. In other words, if Rachel would have treated her properly, like a miracle child, and been prepared to give her over to Esav, then she could have walked on the street and Shem wouldn't have attacked her either. She would have had this special protection. But she didn't take advantage of the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, this girl with this miracle child, and with Shmira, with protection. And he treated her like any other child. So Hashem says, if you're treating this child like any other child, so then fine, she'll be any other child. She's not going to have the special protection anymore. And therefore, that answers very nice, the stira, and why Dafka Shem? Right? It's not a stira. Right? Yes. When she went out, because she went out, that's why she was attacked. But she wouldn't have been attacked had Yaakov treated her like a miracle child and dealt with her with like a child that has protection. He didn't treat her with protection, so Hashem said, fine, I'm taking away my protection. And therefore, that's why Shem attacked her. So we see from here, the lesson for us, that Chodesh Baruch Hu gives each and every one of us our own matanas. Right? Gives us talents and abilities and to do the different things. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expecting us to realize them and take advantage of them. He says, look, Hashem, you gave me this gift, this talent, so I'm going to make use of it. If you don't, and you just act like any other person without the talent, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, fine, I'm giving you this present, you don't want to use it, so fine, I'll take it away from you. Exactly what happened with Dina, right? She had the present, his gift of Shmirah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of a miracle that happened to her. If Yaakov would have acted like according, she would have remained with it. He didn't treat her like that, so it was taken away. So if we act in a proper way and appreciate the gifts we have, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us more. And if we don't, he'll take it away. So Maisa with Rav Chanan Wasserman, Rav Bronowitz. So once he had a certain chesed project that needed taken care of. So he approached a certain fellow he knew that could help, and he called him over. He says, listen, I have this project, can you help? So he says, oh, ain li koach, I have no strength, I can't. So Rav Chanan says, okay, I have no strength. That was it, he left him alone. A while later, he sees this guy, bumps into this guy again on the street. He goes, oh, Rabbi. He says, what's wrong? He says, you have to help me. I feel terrible. I have no koach. I'm all day in bed. I'm weak. I don't know. Why is Hashem doing this to me? So Rav Chanan answered him. He said, what do you mean, why is Hashem doing this? He said, you yourself brought it upon yourself, right? You said, oh, I have no koach to do this project I gave you. I have no strength. So Hashem says, fine. You have plenty of strength. You don't want to take advantage of your strength? I'm going to take away your strength. And that's exactly what happened. And now he really didn't have strength. Right, so we have to be careful, but then, like we said, we have our strengths, we should make use of them, and not just claim that we can't, oh, we don't have them, then we ignore them, don't pay attention to them. The Shem says, fine, you don't think you have them, then I really will take it away from you. We said there's also the positive aspect of it as well, of using our strength and our abilities, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes through and encourages us and gives us more. It's a very interesting maisa that I brought down in a couple of different svarim. It's a rather recent maisa. There was once a Talmud Chacham that was attended regularly Rav Yashiv Shlita's shir. And unfortunately, lo aleinu, he contracted the machla, and he was very, very ill. And he went to a number of doctors here in Eretz Yisrael, specialists, and they saw that it didn't really look promising. he couldn't find his, none of the doctors here could take care of him, and they looked pretty bleak. And they offered, the only thing they could offer is there's a doctor in Hutzlarts where maybe, if I, you know, not likely, but it's a possibility, maybe he can do something, prolong his life a little bit or whatever. And so they suggested they should fly to Hutzlarts. So the person that was taking care of this him was not the doctor, but the Askan here in Israel. His name is Benny Fisher. He runs a medical organization where he helps people out. Anyway, so he was taking care of this young Avreich, and so they came to the conclusion that they should go to this doctor in Chutzlatz. So the Avreich's wife said, "Listen, I'm okay, prepared to go, but only under one condition. I want to first speak to Rabbi Yashiv. I want to speak to Rabbi Yashiv before we go." So Fisher said, "Fine, I'll see if I can arrange a meeting." And he was able to get an appointment, Rabbi Yashiv. That was a Friday afternoon. All right. So they go into Rabbi Yashiv, and she brings with her all the, you know, she's there with the, you know, her husband, and they bring all the medical records and everything, and she shows Rabbi Yashiv, and wants to get his okay that they should go to Chutzlarts. So he goes through all the things and everything, and he's basically shaking his head. He sees that the it doesn't look very promising, and he said, "Listen, all I can do is wish you a refuah shleima. That's it, nothing more. I mean, what? It doesn't look so good." So the woman, they got up, about to leave, and she turns around, says to Rabbi Yashiv, "Listen, I know that it doesn't look too good, but I'm a kabo be'ahava gemura, complete love, whatever Kodesh Baruch Hu does, I'm accepting it. It's what's meant to be. It's meant to be. He's doing what is right and what's what we need, etc. And but I just want to know one thing. You know, I'm gonna probably an almana soon with all our children, and I would just want to know that if one day my kid asks me, one of my kids asks me, says, 'Ima, did you do everything you could for Abba?' I want to be able to say that yes, I did everything I could do. Well, will I be able to tell that to my kids?" So Rabbi Yashiv turns to Rav Fisher, who was there with the couple, and he says, "I want you to go right now to Chutzlarts with them. Take this couple and fly right now to Chutzlarts." So he didn't understand. "What do you mean fly right now to Chutzlarts? It's Friday afternoon, it's Shabbos in an hour or so, and fly right now," like Rabbi Yashiv, like putting the emphasis on the word now, like fly right now to Chutzlarts. He's like, "Now?" So I said, "Rebbe, I know, you're very busy, it's Friday afternoon, you know, it's like Shabbos in an hour or so. Like, what do you mean fly right now to Chutzlarts? I mean, it's Mechal Shabbos. I mean, obviously you mean on Sunday, right?" He says, "No, fly right now to Chutzlarts." He says, "But Mechal Shabbos." He goes, "Right now." So he says, okay. So they flax it back, whatever, and they're off. And on Shabbos, they flew to America. In other words, he felt it was Pikuach Nefesh. And they flew on Shabbos, to America, whatever, where the young Avreich was treated. And in the end, Baruch Hashem, he was successful, and he was cured, and he was going right back to Rabbi Yashiv Shir, and everything was fine again. So that's the main part of the story. The second part of the story is that Rav Avram Broida, he asks Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita. He says, "Listen," he told him the story, and he says, "I don't understand. Like, Rabbi Yashiv's his father-in-law, Chaim's father-in-law, right?" So he says, "Tell me, what was your father-in-law's..." First he says, "No, all I can do is say refuah shleima." Next thing you know, he's telling him to fly on Shabbos. You know, what's going on? What happened over here? So he says, "I can tell you what happened." He says, "When they came in, they offered information about the disease, the sickness, whatever, and in Akhanami, it was very bleak, and he just said, okay, for Shlema, what more can he say? That was that. But what happened? But then, when he saw this woman's tremendous emunah, right, that's emunah, when she said, whatever Hashem does is for the Ben, he saw how sincere she was. She wasn't just saying it, from a safalachutz, they say, for a lip service. She really, really meant it. He felt that she really meant it, that she was makabel 100% ba'ava, that whatever Hashem does is for the best, and he felt that. So Rav Yasha says, whoa, now I see a whole different picture over here. I see a woman with so much tremendous bitachon that now what was a gzar din, I see that he saw that this gzar din can be erased with her tremendous bitachon. And therefore he said, go right now on Shabbos because there's hope. Go right away. Because nefesh, you have to go. Until then, he saw the gzar din was pretty much it. There's not much you can do as his life was coming to an end. But when he saw this tremendous bitachon this woman had, he said, now the whole matzav changes. I didn't realize, I didn't see. So this bitachon could rip up the gzar din. This man could live now. Let them go immediately to America. And they did, and the man survived. As an aside, they asked Rav Chaim, but how did her emuna help for the husband? I mean, if the husband had the emuna, so then fine, I can see that, you know, that he was saved, he lived because of his emuna. But how could the wife's emuna help for the husband? So he says, very simple. Because if the husband would have died, the wife would have been in terrible matzah, without a husband, without, you know, with a mana, with her kids, or yesomi, right? So she needed her husband alive also and well. So therefore, the emuna was for herself as well. And that's why it came through. So we see from here, as we mentioned, that Kosh Baruch Hu gave her a gift, and she took advantage of it, right? She took advantage of her emunah and her bitachon, and she was mechazek herself to such a degree that she was able, as we said, to rip up a bad decree of death and bring it to life. So Yesh Hashem, we should remember this, not belittle all the tremendous gifts that Kosh Baruch Hu gives us on a daily basis, to realize what our talents and our abilities are, and use them properly. And then, like we said, if we don't use them, and Hashem's going to say, fine, I'll take them away. I'll take them away from you, like he did by Raidina, took away your protection. And if we use them properly, the Kosh Baruch Hu's Gena, Mirtz Hashem, will continue to give us more and more matanas that were used properly. And in that schus, you will see the coming of the B'yas Goel, B'mehera B'yameinu.